God, he said, I got up here too quick. I didn't give him time to get his stuff off. So, good morning, Richland. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I'm Carson Humphreys. I'm one of the pastors here at Richland. If you don't know me, I've had the great privilege of teaching the Advanced Christianity course right next door here. So if you ever come back and want to visit and go through that advanced course with us, you're more than welcome to. But Nick, like we saw the video, Nick and Scott and Nate and Jake are all in Turkey spreading the gospel and serving over there. So we pray for them, but I thank Nick for the opportunity to come and bring God's word to you this morning and speak to you. So as Rhett said, I'm going to be in Revelations. And some of you might have kind of leaned over like my wife did and said, really? Revelations? I was like, yeah, that's where I'm at today. Revelations 4. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, we'll get there in a second. And really... two or three weeks ago, we were at a pig show and on a Sunday morning, and they had a preacher, and he preached from these verses, and it kind of got me thinking, and really, a lot of times when I preach, and maybe when God is speaking to me, it's things that I need to hear. It's things that I need to maybe do better in my life that kind of come out in sermons, and hopefully that you can take some of this as well. But, you know, the title of my message this morning is Working for God Because He is Worthy. And it's not, you know, working outside the church, you know, it's working inside the church. It's working, spreading the gospel. It's being like the guys that are in Turkey serving. You know, God has called us to many different areas to serve. Not just to come and sit and listen to a message and go home and not think about it the rest of the week. We're called to serve. And maybe you're called to serve, you know, preaching. Maybe you're just called to serve teaching. Maybe you're just called to serve to go to the nursery and hold a baby. That's a great service. I don't remember those days of having a baby, but man, it was great when somebody else wanted to hold it because they make a lot of noise. But I also like serving in the nursery too because they like to sleep. You can rock them to sleep. But God is worthy of our work, and He has called us to do that. And I'm going to be in chapter 4, like I said. I'm going to start in verse 9, but really 11 is kind of my focus of my message this morning, and I'll read that here in a little bit, but let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come and worship. Lord, we pray for those that are around the world that are serving in Turkey, that are sharing the gospel, that are loving on those over there. Lord, we pray for the churches in this area, the pastors that are preaching the gospel this morning, the teachers that have taught a Sunday school class, those that have held the babies in the nursery. Lord, we also pray that as we leave this place, that we take that message with us, not just something that we hear and say yes to here. It goes outside of these walls. And Lord, we thank you for those opportunities. And Lord, we pray for those opportunities. And we pray for this message, Lord, that your will be done. Lord, that your words will change our hearts. Lord, we thank you and we pray all these things in your Son's Jesus' name. Amen. So before I kind of start and read the verses, you know, most of you know that I'm an ag guy. I like agriculture and mainly I like livestock. I you know, was raised around livestock my whole life. We have livestock, but, you know, it's something about just being around them. And, you know, they don't talk back for one. You know, they might try to kill you every now and then, but they're, you know, generally, you know who they are. They have personalities. You get to know them. And I was hearing this story. I was reading the story about this old, you know, farmer, and he had cows, and he'd go out and, you know, crack of dawn every day, just like most of us livestock guys, and check our animals, and he knew them individually. He knew when one was sick. He knew when one, you know, wasn't eating right. He knew when one, maybe it was time for them to find a different farm. And somebody was asking me, you know, why do you have such a relationship? Why do you spend all this time in the pasture and know your animals? And, you know, his response was, because they're mine. They belong to me, and I want them to work in the right way. And he noticed that, okay, they're not just pets. They're things that have value and can give him back value. So for that farmer to understand that, us as believers, we need to understand the same thing. We're bought. We're owned by Jesus. We're owned by God. You know, Christ paid that price for us, and he wants us to work in the right way. He doesn't want us to be busy. He wants us to work and share and serve. We belong to the Lord. He made us. He redeemed us. He has every right to call on our strength, our time, and our service. And when we really see how worthy he is, we stop and ask and stop asking how much we can keep for ourselves and start asking how much can we give to him. We really need to get to that point in our relationship with God is, what is mine and what is his? It's all his. And like it says, he has that right to call on the gifts that he's given us, to use those gifts that he's given us. You know, there's nothing that we have the ability to do without God. And hopefully as we see this, go through this message, we see that. But let's read in Revelation 4, starting in verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne, worship the one who lives forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne and say, O our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things, and because of your will, they exist and we were created. So John writes Revelation. He has this vision. That's where that word revelation comes from, of maybe things to come. And you know, the great thing about this, you know, the first thing John doesn't see in this vision is the troubles that are happening on earth. He sees the throne room of God. And what's going on in that throne room? They're praising and worshiping the one true God. They're falling before him. They're casting their crowns at their feet, these elders are, but they're saying, O Lord and God, you are worthy to receive this glory. You are worthy of all honor and power. That's what he sees. He is worthy of our worship, worthy of our walk, worthy of our work. Psalms 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. But let me make something plain. Sorry, I'm reading from a script. I don't normally do that, but I did it this time. Our work does not save us. This is not about working your way to salvation. This is not working your way to honor, you know, to find favor in God. This is about service. Our work does not save us. Our service does not save us. And our sacrifice does not save us. We are not washed by our labor. We are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what saves us. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, know that. I'm not preaching this, and I'll say this several more times throughout my sermon. This is not working your way to salvation. This is honoring God because we have been saved, because of what Christ did on the cross. That is what we need to know today. We do not work to get saved. We work because by grace we have been saved. God did not save us to sit still while the world runs hard after money, schedules, and success. Too many folks are busy in business and barren in service. Too many are making a living but not making an offering. The message of this text is plain because God is worthy to receive all glory and honor. Those who have been redeemed by Jesus ought to give themselves wholly to him and labor faithfully for his name. It's about giving back. It's about showing honor. It's about being faithful to God, not to ourselves, not to our families, not to our work, not to those things that we think that we need to do in this life, but it's about being faithful to God and who he is and what he's done. So my first point, if you're taking notes, and sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint. I didn't earn my clicker certification like the rest of them did, so... But there are blank pages on the back of the bulletins if you want to take notes this morning. But my first point is, we work for God because he alone is worthy. So we see these elders in heaven, and there's these kind of creatures that we don't know how to describe, but are also these elders. And John sees this vision, and what are they doing? Like I said, they're giving glory and honor to God. He's worthy to receive this heavenly praise that John sees. He is more than worthy to receive earth's labor, our work, our strength, our talents. He is worthy to receive those. We should want to give back to that. We do not serve God because he's lacking of anything. God doesn't need us. God doesn't, you know, if I wasn't able to preach this morning, there'd be somebody else that could. If you know, God has that lined out. He doesn't need us, but he wants to use us. He's saved us for a purpose. And he wants to use us and work through us. We serve him because he deserves everything. Romans 11:36, for him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men. Don't do it because people are watching. Do it because God wants you to, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. But there again, let's not get this backwards. We're not trying to work our way into God's good graces. You know, sometimes we do that with human beings. We do things to gain their favor, that they'll do something in return for us. Understand, there's nothing we can do that God can't do on his own. There's no need to think that we can work to get on his good side. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of that mark that he set through his son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. You know, I haven't done anything where I could say, well, I did this all myself. God, you know, he showed up every now and then. No, God has done all of it. And, you know, I mention this, I think, every time I preach. The people that know me and would know me 20 years ago would have said, what's this guy? He never talked back then. Now he never shuts up. What's the deal? That's a God. God has given me the ability, you know, the desire, the want to teach and preach, and I use that in different ways. And sometimes it's here, not as much as it used to be, because we have other great guys that can come and fill in when Nick's gone, or give Nick a break, or Scott a break. But, you know, I have the ability to go to other churches and fill in when their pastors are on vacation or they're without a pastor. So I use those talents, and we all have those talents and gifts that come from God, but we don't do that to boast. We do that to glorify him. We can stack up good deeds like to fill this room, but it won't save us. Only Jesus saves us in his blood. When a man sees the worth of God in the mercy of Christ, he stops asking, how little can I do? And starts asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know, Jake brought that up in his video that, you know, maybe some of you have that call on your heart to go. Maybe it is go around the world. Maybe it is preach. Maybe it is just share with that person across the street. Delayed obedience is disobedience. We need to understand that as well up front. We need to say, you know, what's the bare minimum I can do? If I show up to church, you know, 3 out of 4 times every month, am I good or no? No. What's the most I can do? What does God want me to do? Does he want me to be here every time the door opens? Yeah, he does. He wants you to serve. Now, does that mean that he doesn't want you to maybe take a break every now and then and take a breath and have that vacation? That's fine. But he wants you to serve and serve tirelessly. That means every act of faithful service matters in the sight of God. He sees it all. From the person sitting in the nursery holding the baby to me up here preaching, he sees it all. And he counts it all the same. I don't get a better portion just because I'm willing to stand in front of you all and talk. He wants that faithfulness. Whether you preach in the pulpit, pray in the altar, teach a class, visit the sick, sing in the choir, witness on the job, or serve quietly where few ever notice, the Lord sees it all. Hebrews 6:10 tells us, for God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you showed for his name. The world honors performance, platform, and popularity, but God honors faithfulness. Showing up when it's hard. Showing up when it's not convenient. Showing up when we need to be there. A farmer, we're in planting season, and it's been kind of one of those years where It hasn't been the easiest of time, but farmers labor tirelessly in the field. They plant their seeds, but they're not able to go see that harvest right away. They don't go back the next day and harvest. No, it takes time. It takes patience, but they know that seed is still there. Same way with us as believers, we labor. We plant those seeds with those around us. We share the gospel with those, not just to turn around to see that harvest immediately, but maybe we never see it. But we know that seed is still there. So do not despise those small places of service. Do not despise those times when maybe we don't feel like we've made a difference. If we preach the gospel, if we shared the good news, God will make that difference. God will bring the harvest. Little is much when God is in it, and no work done for him is ever in vain. My second point we come to. We work for God because he created us and owns us. The elders say, because you have created all things. We see there in chapter 4, that includes you, that includes me, that includes every breath we draw. Psalms 103, acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pastures. Since he created us, he owns us. Since he formed us, he has the right to command us. We are not self-made. We are not self-ruled. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Use the talents, use your body, use the time, use the resources that God has given you to give back. It's not our choice. It's God's will. God wants us to use those things. Therefore, the worker belongs to the master, the servant belongs to the king, and the child of God belongs to the Father. Therefore, our lives are not to be poured out on self, but surrendered for his glory. We look for ways to glorify him. If God made you, then God made you for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. He did not save you to sit, soak, and sour. I found that, and I don't, the more I think about it, the more it kind of makes sense. How many times we can tell who a Christian is by the frown on their face. Have you ever heard that statement before? Because all we do is sit, and we just soak, and we stew about things that we can't change, and then we just sour, and we walk away from God when he wants to use us. He saved you to serve. These good works are the fruit of our salvation, not the root of our salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ is what saves a sinner, not a busy church calendar, not a full offering plate, and not a lifetime of trying harder. But when the Lord truly saves a person, he changes that person, that person's wants, priorities, and direction. He'll change you. You might sit here today and say, well, I do a lot of good things. But who do you do them for? Are you doing them for God? Are you doing them to get the pat on the back? When we're saved, God changes those wants, those desires. We want to find his will. We want to work for him. We want to serve those around us. Some plant, others water, but God gives the growth. We all have our parts and pieces that we're responsible for. You might think you just come to church on a Sunday and hear a good sermon and you go home. No, there's still work for us to do. There's a reason every single person is sitting in this room this morning. There's parts that have to be done. And I was thinking about this morning, and I've been here long enough, and I can remember we didn't have, there's four of them back there now, sitting in the sound booth. We didn't have a stage full of singers. If I preached on a Sunday when Larry was gone, I was the one opening the church up. Or maybe one of the other deacons was, which I'm sure that happened this morning too. But I was the one turning on the sound system, making sure it was set down, doing the preaching. There was one Sunday night I even had to lead the singing, and that was a terrible night to sing because there was no music. It was a cappella. That made it even worse. But God brought people in to do those jobs that not just Nick or not just Scott or not just me or Scotty or whoever had to do those jobs. There's people that have those talents. You know, I can run a soundboard if, you know, just push a button. But you don't want me doing more than that because I'll screw it up pretty quick. But we have people that have those talents. And in the same way, when we go out and minister, there's people that I can talk to and there's people you can talk to. There's people that are going to listen to me because of my experiences and what I've been through. And there's people that aren't going to listen to me, but they'll listen to somebody else. We all have a part in this, people. It's not some doing all of it. It's all of us doing all of it together. Serving God more will require sacrifice, sacrificing part of our busyness, our schedule, our comfort, and our personal ambition. A fellow can pick up one more job and still lay down one more opportunity to obey God. A family can run every road in the country all week long and still have no time left for ministry, prayer, discipleship, or the house of God. What good is it to build our larger calendar if the altar grows smaller? What good is it to increase our income if we decrease our obedience? The question is not whether you have ability enough. The question is whether you are willing enough. If he created you and redeemed you, then the right response is to place your life on the altar and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Do I have the ability enough? Probably not. But I'm willing. And that's what he wants. He wants faithfulness. He wants willingness of people to go and do his work. My third point here, my last point. We work for God because he sustains our labor by his will. Back in Revelation 4 says that by his will all things exist and were created. That means God did not merely start all things, he sustains all things. He's not a God that just, you know, wound up the world and walked away and let it go where it wants. He's sustaining his ministry all over the world. He's sustaining those people that are sharing the gospel all over the world. He's sustaining us in those jobs and that work and that service that he has for us. We just have to lean on him to do that. The God who made the workers is the God who gives the workers strength. John 15:5, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Isaiah 40:28, Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. Verse 31, that same chapter, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. We cannot labor for the glory of God in the energy of the flesh. We must have his grace, his power, and his spirit. We get tired. We're flesh. We're humans. We run ourselves ragged. We have to take that break. But if God says keep going, then we need to say, okay, God, in your strength and in your power. The one who calls us to serve is also the one who enables us to serve. If the burden is heavy, lean harder on him. If the task is great, look higher to him. If the road is long, keep your hand in his hand. So do not grow weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9. So we must not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes serving God feels like pushing against the wind. You have that person in your life that you just ministered to, you've shared the gospel over and over and over, and it's like, I'm not getting anywhere. Have you ever tried to push the wind? You can't do it. But God says, keep going. Sometimes it feels like pouring yourself out where nobody seems to notice. Maybe there's that job that you do faithfully and nobody sees it. Keep going. A candle does not stop burning because the room is dark. That is the very reason it was lit. In the same way, the darker the hour, the brighter the witness of a faithful servant. So do not quit. Do not back up. Do not cool off. Do not sit down on God. Keep serving until Jesus comes. Keep giving him the glory while you do it. So what do we do with these verses? What do we do with everything I've just said? Some of you went in one ear and out the other. Some of you maybe, you know, have got it. Maybe some of you have heard that. We ought to fall before him and surrender and rise in service for him. Romans 12:1, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. He's worthy to receive glory and honor, then he is worthy of your hands, your feet, your time, your strength, your gifts, your future, and your whole heart. Give him everything. Don't hold anything back. There's something that I can use to serve him that I want to use that. He is even worthy of business opportunities you turn down so you can obey him. The overtime you refuse so you can be in his house. The personal plans you rearrange so you can serve his people. And the comfort you lay aside so you can answer his call. But remember this well, laying something down for God does not purchase salvation. You cannot trade a sacrifice for a Savior. Jesus Christ already paid the full price at Calvary, and his blood was enough. You know, that term, really, when this sermon, when I started thinking about it, that phrase, I'm too busy, stuck in my mind. And it irks me when I hear that. I'm too busy. And you can be mad at me all you want afterwards, and you can throw things, whatever, but none of us are busier than the next person. What we choose to do with our time. If we're choosing to do other things than serve the Lord, then you're choosing wrongly for the one who owns you. If we choose to be somewhere else other than the house of the Lord on Sunday or whatever day we worship, then you're making the wrong choice. We're not too busy. There's people that need us. There's people that need to hear the gospel. We need to sacrifice our comfort. We need to sacrifice our plans. We need to sacrifice our time because God sacrificed his son. We need to give back to those who are around us. We need to serve those because God has called us to. We do not surrender to earn redemption. We surrender because we have found redemption in him. It's time to lay down our excuses, our coldness, our pride, our packed schedule, and our half-hearted devotion. It's time to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. One last farmer example here before I close. I know all of you are tired of hearing about farmers, but there was a farmer one spring. He had more work than he knew what he could do with. Neighbors were calling him. He needed to go do this, go do that. He was, you know, this way he was earning his money. He understood this is how I feed my family. This is how I pay my bills. The weather was right. He could just keep doing and rolling and doing and keep making this money for his family. They got a phone call one day. There was a family in the church that needed some help. You know, he sat down, he talked to his wife, and he said, you know, if I stop now, I may lose some of this work. I may not get that paycheck. So he took it to the Lord, he prayed, he laid that job list that he had written out on the kitchen table and said, I would rather lose a little money than lose an opportunity to obey God. So he went, he helped the family that was in need. Later on, he told his wife, talking to her, he said, you know, the Lord took care of the bills. We didn't have to worry. But more than that, he kept my heart from growing hard. Friends, this is the issue today. Not whether God needs your effort to survive, but whether he has your heart. Are you willing to give that over to him today? Not whether works can save you, they cannot, but whether the Savior who shed his blood for you is worthy of first place in your life. And the only answer to that is, he is. He is worthy of that. He is worthy to be first place in your life. Here in a little bit, we'll have our time of invitation. We'll do it with the Lord's Supper, and Rhett will go over that, how that will work for those that are visitors. And it's our time to respond. Our time to pray and ask God, are you calling me to something that I need to go and do for you? If he saved you, but you've been careless, indifferent, or idle in the Lord's work, come back to the altar and surrender. Tell God you want to serve him again. If God has been dealing with your heart about deeper obedience, fuller commitment, or call to serve, do not put him off another day. Like Jake said, delayed obedience is disobedience. We continue to put that off. Well, God, I'll do that tomorrow. Well, God, I'm not really prepared to do that. I don't have the training to do that. I don't feel comfortable in that position. You're just delaying it. You're being disobedient to what God has called you to do. If your busyness, your schedule, or your pursuit of success has crowded out your devotion, then bring that to the Lord today and place it back under his authority. But if you have never trusted in the Lord, if you're here and you don't know if you're following Jesus Christ, or you feel that tug that you need to change something in that direction, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing that you can do to earn that. There's only one thing that you can do, and that's put your faith in Christ and Christ alone. What he did on the cross, what he did for each and every one of us. I'm asking you to come to the one who shed his blood for sinners. The same God who sits upon the throne sent his son to die for your sins. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that living water. We'll never thirst again when we take a Christ and his living water. That salvation that came when he died on the cross, but not only with his death, but that resurrection when he came out of that grave. Trust not in your works, not in your goodness, not in your church attendance, but in the blood of Jesus Christ alone. Then follow him, love him, and serve him while you have breath. Turn loose of everything that keeps you from full obedience, because he alone is worthy to receive all glory and honor. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ones that are out serving in different areas and around the world, and Lord, being those examples, and Lord, that ultimate example of your son Jesus, who served you with everything that he had, even to that point of death on the cross for each and every one of us. And Lord, as we take of the Lord's Supper this morning and that remembrance of what he did, if there's ones here today that don't truly know if they're following him and have those questions, Lord, I pray that they would come and ask those questions. They would come and pray and receive your son today and put their faith fully in him. And Lord, that you have a plan for them. And Lord, it's not just to come and pray a prayer and be saved and then go sit in a pew. Lord, it's to be here, to serve, to go outside these walls and serve. Because you've loved us, you've saved us, you have a purpose for us. Lord, I thank you for what that has meant in my life. And Lord, the ability that the times that you've been able to use me and the minuscule abilities that I have, Lord, what you've done with them is immense. Nothing I could have done on my own, but only through you. We're all that away, Lord. We can't do any of this without you and the power that you have. Lord, I just pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.